Man, I'll tell you, that was good singing by the choir, and also that good solo there. Wasn't that good?
Amen.
I'll tell you, I like it. And I'm glad to be here with you tonight. And Pastor, thank you for inviting me to come. I'm glad to be here. I'm a little under the weather, and I'm not complaining. I'm glad to be up on my feet, you know, but I've been a little bit sick. Well, no, let me just say that. I've been a whole lot sick. I've had pneumonia for the last 3 weeks, and I thought it was clearing up some, and then yesterday evening it started giving me a hard time, and I stopped by the doctor this morning, and he gave me another shot, some more antibiotics, and told me I had more of it than I did 3 weeks ago. But I'm still trying to, you know, to get rid of it. You just pray for me that the Lord will help me to shake this stuff and get rid of it. So if I cough some, excuse me for it, and I'll do my best not to, because I know it's a little irritating. But I'm looking forward to being here and hearing Brother Larry Brown preach here in a little bit. And he's one of my favorites, and I love Brother Brown. And I thank God for your pastor and his old-fashioned stand and standing for the truth and the Bible all these many years and keeping on going. And I thank God for him. Take your Bible, turn to Acts 27. I'm going to try to preach something to you tonight, maybe a little helpful tonight, try to be a blessing to you, and thank God for you. My wife done the driving and drove us over here this evening, and I tried to read some and get in my Bible and read, and then to try to make some phone calls, you know, get some of that done. But looking for the Lord to do something for us tonight. I'm looking for God to help us. And he said, without me, you can do nothing. And I'll tell you what, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. And boy, thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you know, I got saved 48 years ago, and I was 15 years old, and I'd never seen anybody pray, not even over a meal. I'd never seen the Bible opened in my home, never seen anything like that. And our home about split up. My mother and dad just about to, having problems. And my mama, one day in the afternoon, on a Saturday afternoon, my mama said to my daddy, I don't know what you're going to do, and I don't know what we need, but I know one thing, I think we need God. And we went to a little Baptist church the next day on Sunday, me and my mother and my little baby brother and sister, and heard old Gene Garlow. Gene's with the Lord now. If he's living, he'd be almost 100. And boy, he got up and he preached, man. He let it go. And my mother walked the aisle and got saved that morning.
Amen.
And the next Sunday, which is December 7, 1969, I went back on Sunday night, sat back down with my mama, and I listened to old Brother Garlow preach that night. Buddy, I stepped out and come to Jesus. And that's the best decision I've ever made in my life. That's the best thing I've ever done in my life, that God saved me. And I love him for it. Book of Acts, chapter number 27, and verse number 21. Look at Acts 27, verse 21 said, but after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not to have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. I'm going to preach to you tonight on this thought tonight, some things to not do when the storms come. Now, you know, friend, this evening, or coming over here today, boy, the sun was out just as beautiful as it could be, and looked on the thermometer there in the truck, and it said 80, I believe it said 85 degrees, the sun's out, not a cloud in the sky. And then this evening, before we got in the building here, it had clouded up, and them dark clouds rolled in. You know, it doesn't take long for the storms to roll in. Doesn't take long. And you know, that's the way it is in life. The storms come. Now let me tell you, it's as important that you know what not to do as it is to know what to do.
Amen.
You know, you got to know what you should not do when storms come.
Right.
And so I'm going to give you some things. You know, years ago, in the early part of my ministry, and I was young, real young, you know, and that seemed like things just went smooth. Things sailed out smooth. But you know, as time goes on, storms are going to come. Now, I'm going to tell you they're going to come. And sometimes they're unexpected. Sometimes it's nothing that you've done. Many times when problems come to people, they want to know, what did I do to cause this? Well, sometimes you didn't do anything. And you know, then you can be like Jonah and catch the wrong boat. And if you're going to ride the devil's boat, you got to pay the fiddler, don't you?
Yeah.
If you're going to ride his boat, you don't ride for free. He may tell you it's free, but it won't be free. And you ride his boat, but Jonah caused his own storms. Let me say this. Life is tough enough without manufacturing storms. Amen. And really, to be honest with you, Brother Ennis, this could have been avoided here. All of this storm could have been avoided. This was unnecessary. It wasn't Paul's fault, but he was a victim of circumstances here. And I want to preach to you on things to not do when the storm comes. Now, our Father, Lord, we pray tonight, God, that you would help me, Lord, to preach tonight with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, tonight that you'd let anything you don't want me to say not come to my mind, but then you would bring what you want me to say to my remembrance. And may, God, I tonight be completely obedient to what God would have me to say. Thank you for the dear pastor here and these other preachers and these dear folks that make up this camp meeting. And Brother Brown, as he preaches to us, God, thank you for him. And Lord, bless him as he preaches tonight. And give me strength, Lord, to do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Apostle Paul here, you know, he had gotten in trouble, not for what he did wrong, but what he did right. Paul was going to give his testimony, wasn't he? And he was going to preach. And you know, it got him in trouble there with the authorities. And you know, he stood before Felix. He stood before Festus. He stood before Agrippa. And then he appealed, you know, the thing. And they said, then you'll go before Caesar. And you know, God told him, and God told Ananias when he saved Paul, that you're going to stand before these people and represent me. You'll stand before these authorities and you'll represent me. Well, here he is, getting ready to go and stand and to go to Rome. But in this early chapter, in this chapter right here, Paul tried to discourage these men to not sail at this time. If you look back here in this chapter, he tries to tell them not to leave at this certain time. Now, these are some things right here that are very, very practical. I couldn't preach a deep sermon if I tried. I'm just a cornbread and pinto bean kind of preacher. You know what I mean? I mean, I just put it down, it's just simple stuff. But I promise you this, if you'll take these things down, it will help you when the storms come. And they'll help you. Let me tell you something. You may not need what I'm going to preach tonight. But I'm going to just tell you this little testimony before I preach this. I was up in Bourbonnais, Illinois here. Oh, I don't know. It's been now 4 years ago. And I was there in a morning service, and Brother Brown was preaching. And I preached that day. I preached in the morning or night or something. But I preached in that same service because I was there. And he come in that morning, and he preached a sermon that I'll never forget if I live to be 100, called The Dark Hour. The Dark Hour. Boy, let me tell you something. That morning, he preached that message. I didn't know it. He didn't know it, but God knew it. And do you know what? That after he preached that sermon, some of the darkest hours that I would ever face in my life come my way. And I've never forgot that message because God was preaching to me that day. Now, let me tell you something, friend. It might be, don't you just turn this out because you ain't in a storm. This is one of them, you want to get that CD and put it away somewhere, brother, for when that time comes or when it comes to somebody else. The dark hour. But is what he preached that helped me so much. Now, tonight, these things to not do when the storms come. Number one, may I give you out of these scriptures, number one, tonight when the storms come, don't bind the preacher. Don't bind the preacher. Now, what I mean by that, if you look down in the book of Acts chapter 27 and you look down there about verse number 9, here's what it says. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless," look at this, "nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Now let me say this right here. That owner of the ship believed the captain of the ship and the man that was in control of all the sailing more than he believed the preacher. Now let me say this. Folks, let me tell you, you're a member of an old-fashioned Bible-believing church like this right here. And you're a member of a local church. Let me tell you something. God gave you a man of God to help you. Now let me tell you something. You know, friend, if I was you, I would, and I needed advice, brother, I wouldn't think one thing in the world. If I was a member of this church, I'd march right into his office and say, "Pastor, listen to me. I need some help and I need some advice and I'm going to do what you tell me." I believe this. I believe the bishop or the pastor of a church, the word bishop means overseer. And I believe that means to oversee and delegate and regulate and all that kind of thing. But I also believe this. I believe that it means more than that. I believe that it means that God gives that pastor the ability to see over. Yeah. And many times the preacher can see things for your life that will save you, my dear friend, and will help you from shipwrecking if you'll simply listen to the man of God. All they had to do to avoid this storm, Brother Ennis, was to listen to Paul. Paul said, "Fellas, I wouldn't move this boat, but the centurion or the owner of the ship believed the captain of the ship more than he believed Paul." Now, he might have known more about boats, Brother Brown. And he might know more about the sea and all the whales in it and all that kind of stuff. But he didn't know more about the one that was controlling the sea. And he didn't know more about the one, my friend, that could stop the wind or start it up and cause the sun to come up and the moon to go up and down. Paul knew God. And my friend, let me say to you today, when the storms come, don't bind the preacher. You let your preacher help you and navigate you in the storms. Don't bind the man of God. Then look what he said over in verse 21. He said, "But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me.'" You know what he said when the storm is going on? "You should have listened to it. You should have hearkened it unto me. And not to have loosed from Crete. And to have gained this harm and this loss. You should have listened to me." See? Now Paul can say, "Boys, I tried to tell you back there in the dock that you ought not cut the ropes loose on this and let it go. But you didn't listen." Oh, let me tell you something. You know, I never, as a preacher, ever like to say to somebody, I wished you'd listened there. But many times I've thought it. If they would have just listened, if they'd have just listened, you see. Oh, my friend, let me tell you something. When the storms come, don't bind the preacher. Yeah. Number two, when the storms come, don't blame God. Don't blame God. You know what Paul said in verse 21 through 25? Look at it. He said, "But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer.'" That don't sound like somebody blaming God to me. That sounds like somebody that's still got victory in their soul, even when the battle come and when the storms come. Paul, my dear friends, still had victory. He said, "Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life, but among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Now look at it again. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Hey, you know what? He didn't blame God. Paul was on the same boat, but he didn't blame God. Hey, do you know something, friend? There's a lot of people out there that I meet sometimes out visiting that ain't in church anymore because something didn't go the way they thought that it should have went, and they blame God. They blame God. They're mad at God. I seen a lady a while back that's a member of my church, and she dropped out of church, and I saw her, and I just talked to her, and I said, let me ask you a question. Did you get upset at me? Was there something that I did or something? She said, no, preacher, it wasn't. And I said, was it something somebody done? Somebody in the church, somebody? No, sir, it wasn't. I said, can I ask you another question? Are you mad at God? Are you blaming God? And you know what she did? She dropped her head. Yeah. And I knew I had her.
Right.
I said, you're mad at God. And you know what, friend? Let me tell you something. God's so good to me, it's embarrassing. God's so good to me. Let me tell you something. I told my wife coming over here today, God's been so good to this old boy. And let me tell you, he picked me up, and preacher, just like you said a while ago, God don't owe me nothing. Brother, God don't owe me nothing. But let me tell you, God's given me good health tonight. Listen, I'm able to stand here and preach. The Lord's let me, he's let me preach. You know what? If you knew me before I got saved and even knew me after I got saved, you'd say, what in the world is he doing preaching? I mean, you know what? The Lord reached down one day and called me in this thing. And Paul said, I thank God that he counted me faithful, having put me in the ministry. Amen. God put me in this business, you see. He put me in here. Hey, the Lord give me a wonderful wife. And the Lord give me a great family. And God's let me work for him and serve him. Let me tell you, how in the world could I blame God for anything that don't go like I think it ought to go? Let me tell you, God's running this thing. Let God be God. We try to get over in God's end. You know, the Bible said the secret things in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord. Oh, let me tell you, the secret things. You know what you better do? You better leave, the secret things alone. You know what David, the psalmist, said? David said, neither exercise myself in matters too high for me. You know what that means? Don't get up there in a tree where you can't get down. That's what that means. Don't get up in yonder where you can't get back. You get over in God's department, you'll wind up shipwrecking for sure. We ain't got no business over there trying to play God. Let God be God. If God needs to send something my way and he knows that I need it, then let God send it. Just give me the grace to get through it. Amen? And let me tell you, brother, Paul said, fellas, don't blame God. Be of good cheer. He said, there stood by me this night. Oh, let me tell you something. Thank God for the presence of God. Thank God for God's promises and God's presence. Amen. Amen. I stood Saturday and preached a funeral of a 46-year-old girl. Died unexpectedly. And there sat that mama that I've known all these years and daddy been members of my church all these years. And they sat on that front row and I was doing everything I could to try to comfort them. But you know what? The best thing I could do was point them to Jesus and tell them he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And let me tell you, you lean on them everlasting arms, but whatever you do, don't blame God when the storms come. Then let me say this, number three, when the storms come, then not only don't bind the preacher and don't blame God, but number three, don't battle the wind. Don't battle the wind. Look at verse number 13. Look what it says. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they'd obtained their purpose, losing thence from, they sailed close by Crete. Not long after, there arose against it a tempest wind called Euroclydon. I reckon I'm saying that right. Euroclydon. You know what they meant? The soft wind blowed about like it was out there in the sea. And they thought, well, this ain't bad. But what they didn't know, there was a Euroclydon heading around the corner.
Amen.
Amen. There was a doozy coming. There was a storm coming that they was going to be hanging on for dear life. Now let me tell you something. Friend, when the wind gets so bad, and let me tell you, when it gets so bad, don't do this. Don't battle the wind. Let God take it where it will.
Amen.
You know what I mean by that? You know, the wind is like the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible likens it to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And you know what's the best thing to do? Let God do the driving. You know what the Bible said they did? Listen, look what they did. Verse 15, and when the ship was caught up and could not bear into the wind, look at this, we let her drive. You know what that means? Get you a hiding place till the storm's over and let this boat go where it's going to go. They wasn't no way to stir it. There wasn't no way to say we're going to drive it over here. The wind was in control. And let me tell you, the best way for it to be is when God's in control. Hey, let me tell you a story. A few years ago, we had a family in our church that I led the daddy to Jesus and led all three of these girls to Jesus. What happened? I was away in West Virginia preaching a revival meeting. And on a Wednesday night, I was preaching five nights. I told the pastor, I said, Pastor, I feel like tonight that after the service, I need to go home. I just felt like I need to go home. And I said, now look, Lord's willing, I'll be back tomorrow night in time to start and preach tomorrow night. But I feel like tonight I need to go home after service. He said, well, that's all right. I'll see you tomorrow night. I got home that night about, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, got into bed. And about 5 that morning, my phone rang. And it was my song leader, and he said, Pastor, and he was crying. He said, can you get to Mama's house? Can you get to Mama's? He said, Megan, Misty, and Tara, that's three sisters, they've all been killed in an automobile wreck on Interstate 40. Can you get to Mama's? And somebody's got to tell her, and ain't none of us want to tell her. And his mother just had open heart surgery, just come home from the hospital, very, very ill. And I said, well, Keith, I'll be there in a few minutes. And I jumped up and got ready. And now, see, I knew why God wanted me to go home.
Yeah, right.
And I got up yonder, and it was dark. And I got out of my car that morning, and I could hear people. There was probably 30 or 35 family members already gathered there, walking around in the yard just a bawling and a hugging and crying. It was still dark. And I said, now, I'm going to go in there and tell her, but I won't go in there without you getting an ambulance here from the rescue squad, because she's going to probably go into cardiac arrest when I tell her. I said, you might not ought to tell her. No, we want to tell her. And I said, all right. They got the ambulance there, and I told her, and sure enough, she went right into that heart failure, and they put her in the ambulance and took off to Forsyth with her. Well, I had to go to the hospital where the mother and dad was, and then over to Forsyth and back and forth. Oh, my soul, I hope I never go through that again, Brother Brown, as long as I live. And I was exhausted and trying to calm things down. It was unbelievable. I finished that revival in the meeting, and I'd come back and forth every day till that meeting was over, to the meet with the family. And so it drew near to the funeral, and I knew I was going to have that funeral. Have you ever, Brother Ennis, tried to find something to preach for a service, something like that, and everything you looked at was a dead-end street?
Yeah.
I mean, it just looked like,
it looked like,
wasn't a scripture in the Bible fit what I needed. I looked at everything. I even remotely thought this would be the one. Let me tell you what happened. I went over to the house of the mother and daddy, and it was the day before the funeral. I still didn't have a thing. I had three funerals of three sisters. I didn't have nothing. The mother went in the back room and said, Preacher, I want to show you something. She said, on Wednesday, I had three beautiful girls, and she had a little gold envelope, looked like a tithing envelope, and she brought that little envelope and opened one end of it and pulled out a piece of cotton, and there was two little black necklaces on there and a little black watch and a corner of a $20 bill that was burned charred black. She said, that's all I got left of them. That's all I have. That's all I got. Preacher, can you please help me? Can you help me? And she said, Preacher, I want to lay out the girls' Bibles at the funeral. If it's all right, I want to show them to you. And she went and got Megan and Misty and Tara's three Scofield Bibles, and one of them was a navy blue, and it was the daughter, 17, the baby. And she got ready to hand me those Bibles, and when she handed me Megan's Bible, I almost dropped it out of my hand. And a bookmarker, when I dropped the Bible, it didn't completely hit the floor. I caught it. A bookmarker tumbled out of that Bible onto the floor. And on that bookmarker was some words wrote and a little smiley face up in the corner. And it was one of my sermon outlines. And this little 17-year-old girl had wrote down a sermon. The oldest girl, the one that was about 26, 27, she had had a heart transplant. And when she was in the hospital, I went to visit her. And she thought she wasn't going to make it through that. And she did. And I said, Tara, you're going to make it through that heart transplant. And she said, Preacher, I'm afraid I'm going to die. I'm afraid I won't live. And she was saved and all that. But she said, I just don't want to die. I want to live and get married one day and all of that. And I said, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And I said, Tara, you're going to get a new heart and be free from heart trouble. She said, well, where's that at in the Bible about being free from heart trouble? I said, John 14:1. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Yeah. Amen. Now here's what I did. I said, let not your heart be troubled. Well, I thought that's pretty good. And I went outside the room and I pulled out a pen and a 3x5 card and I wrote down. And you know, sometimes God will give you a sermon in 2 minutes. Yes. And I wrote down how to be free from heart trouble. And I went back to the pulpit Sunday morning and here was the outline. There's cure for a troubled heart in a place. In my Father's house, many mansions. Cure for a troubled heart in a promise. If I go, I will come again. Cure for a troubled heart in a person. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he said, there's cure for a troubled heart in a path or a plan. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I just went right down through there. See, preaching out of John 14. Well, that little sister, that little 17-year-old, her sister's laying in the hospital. She's sitting right over here that morning, and she took out a bookmarker and turned it over on the back and wrote down how to be free from heart trouble. She wrote that outline down and drew that little smiley face on it, stuck it in her Bible, and for about 3 years that outline had been in her Bible. Whenever I got ready to hand that Bible, I dropped it, and that bookmarker tumbled out face up where I could see that outline, and the Holy Ghost of God said, there she is. Right there's your servant. I picked that thing up, man. Listen, these cold chills run over me like I was in Alaska. Let me tell you something. I said, can I use this? She said, yeah, do whatever you want to do. I said, I'll give it back to him, and I want to use it. And man, I went out there and shouted. And I put that thing, and when I got up that morning to preach that funeral, that place was packed. We even had the other building packed. People, it was 200 or 300 sitting out on the parking lot in chairs. And I got up that day and I said, I want to preach a message that was in Megan's Bible. These are words she wrote down. Man, I give that thing on how to be. And listen, we had 75 people that morning. We got saved. In this 75 people. Now, you know what? There ain't no way in this world I could have come up with a sermon. Yeah. See, God knowed. See, he knowed that you Rockland was coming. Yeah. And he said, I've got to have that country preacher's got to have a message, and I'm going to hide one and let it lay in that Bible for 3 years. His outline will be laying right there waiting on him. And God just cut the ropes loose and let God drive when the storms come. Let God do the driving, my friend. Don't battle the wind. Just let God drive. Amen. And then let me say this here, don't bind the preacher, don't blame God, don't battle the wind. And then let me say this right here, don't bother with little things. Hey, look at here at verses 18 and 19. Look here at verses 18 and 19. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest the next day, they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Hey, look right here. Now look what they're doing. They're throwing ropes and tackle blocks and food, extra food. They're throwing everything that weighed anything overboard. See, they're trying to get rid of it to keep that boat floating. Let me show you the important, that little thing. Look right here. Let me show you the difference, why these men were the way they were and why Paul was the way he was. Looking out in verse 21, but after a long abstinence. You know where Paul was at? Way before there's cell phones, way before there's radar. Paul said after a long abstinence, you know what that little old Jew was down yonder somewhere in the bottom of that boat? He found him a dark corner, and bless God, he plugged into heaven. Yeah. And he said, Lord, we're in a mess down here, and I got 276 sinners on this boat, and they're lost. as they can be, and God, please spare them. And Lord, tell me something. Help me, Lord. And the Lord said, Paul, be of good cheer. He said, look, ain't nobody going to lose their life. He said, it's all going to be all right. And then they're up there throwing stuff overboard, and they're up there trying to lighten the boat. And you know what? Paul walked up and said, hey, boys, ain't no use in all that. Be of good cheer.
Amen.
Hey, there's not going to be a loss in anybody's life. Hey, you know what? Listen to this. You know what you do when battles come and storms come? First thing you want to do is get on the phone, talk to somebody, or call somebody, or do something you can humanly do. When the very first thing you ought to do is find that long absence, praise God. Find that prayer closet and get in there and dig in and get a hold of God and find out what the orders from headquarters are. Amen?
Amen?
Get a hold of the Lord and call on God. Don't bother with them little things. And little things don't matter. It don't matter if a rope's laying there or not. Brother, let me tell you, this is a bad storm. It don't matter if you got tackle block there. What you going to hook to? Brother, you better be hooking up on Jesus. Amen?
Right.
Better be making sure that boat is in the hands of the master of the sea. So don't bother with little things. See? Paul was doing the main thing. Then let me say this right here. Don't get bitter. Don't get bitter. You know, there's too many bitter people. Our churches are full of people who's bitter. Be of good cheer. Bitterness. Bitterness will kill you. Let me do it. Brother, it'll rub off. And let me tell you, you know, bitterness is a root problem. It gets under the dirt. Brother, let me tell you what it'll do. It'll affect your husband. It'll affect your wife. It'll affect your children. And I don't care what. Hey, you ain't got no business being bitter at God. God's too good for that. We don't need to be bitter. And you don't need to be bitter at anybody. Oh, let me tell you. Everything I get besides going to hell is a plus. God's been good to me. And God's been good to you, friend. Hey, the very fact you live in the United States of America, God's been good to you. Here you're sitting tonight in an air-conditioned building with padded pews in an old-fashioned camp meeting, saved on your way to heaven tonight. Man, we ought not be sullen up and bitter about anything. We ought to be shouting a victory tonight. Amen? Oh, don't get bitter. Let me give you these two little last things. Now I'm going to close. Didn't I say there's about seven of them, I believe? And here's the two last ones. The next thing, don't banish soul winning opportunity.
Right.
Hey, look at verse number 36 and 7. Look at them here. Verse 36 and 7. Look what it says. I think I'm in the right place. Acts 36. Then were they all of good cheer. You know, one man being in a good spirit can sure help a lot of people get right.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And old Paul got them on the right track. Then were they all of good cheer. They also took some meat. Look at this. And we were in all the ship. 216. What's that next word? He cared about the soul. Paul wasn't looking at them as men. He was looking at them as souls. 276. And old Paul, let me tell you something. He cared about their soul. There's ever been a man besides Jesus Christ that ever loved the souls of men. It was Paul. Paul said, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish myself accursed for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul cared whether people got saved or not. Let me tell you something, friend. When your battles come and your storms come, get people saved. You know what? I made my mind up. I had heart problems here about 3-4 years ago, and I was laying there, and I didn't know if I was going to come through that thing or not. I didn't know. I thought, hey, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. But I made my mind up while I'm here. Everything that comes through here, if it's somebody bringing breakfast, bless God, I'm going to talk to them about Jesus. They bring lunch, they're going to hear about Jesus. Supper time, they're going to hear about Jesus. They come to stick a needle in me, draw blood, put on a Band-Aid, whatever they cut. That morning, the man come to haul me off down to the operating room. He didn't get saved, but he knew how by the time we got through them doors. Bless God, I told him, I said, buddy, I might die. I might not never, next time you roll me the other direction, I might be going to Eaton's funeral home. But if I do, I said, I'm going out of here saved, and you better be saved too. And I said, listen to me all the way down here. And I preached to him. Let me tell you something, friend. We better get to the place, listen, that we don't banish in our storms soul winning opportunities.
Right.
Don't banish. You ought to have tracks on you and everywhere you go. Listen, I mean everything, every situation you get in. My sister died with cancer. She took chemotherapy every Monday for several years, every Monday. And she'd go to that cancer center. God bless her. All of her hair come out. She would go to that cancer center and she'd go in every Monday morning because she said there's new people there every Monday. And she said she'd get her some tracks and go to them, smile and say, "Hey, my name's Lisa Lilly, and I have cancer too, but I want to tell you the greatest thing that ever happened to me is I got saved." And if you ain't saved, she said, "You need to be saved." And old Lisa, she witnessed, she'd go there, go soul winning every Monday up there. She's in heaven now, but I'll tell you, she took some people with her. My dear friends, don't banish soul winning opportunities. Here's the last thing. When the storms come, last thing I'm going to give you, last thing. Verse 31. When the storms come, don't bail out. Don't bail out. Hey, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Hey, said, hey, don't jump out of the boat. Now, folks, let me tell y'all something. I ain't very smart. But they wouldn't have to tell me that if I was on the boat. I ain't jumping out, Brother Brown. I've been on one cruise in my life. And they wanted me to preach on it, so I went on it. They said, "Well, take care of it if you'll just preach a few times." I said, "Well, I can handle that." And I went. And I'll be honest with you. Don't get mad at me. But I ain't much of a cruiser. That's too much water for me, man. I just don't like that much water. You can have all that. I'd rather be cruising with four tires under me. Wouldn't you? I mean, I'm being honest. Me and my wife both feel that way. She can't swim. And Brother Brown, we got there today, and I can't swim much. And I don't care how good you can swim. If you're out in the middle of the ocean, it ain't going to do you no good. Where are you going to swim to? I was down there, and they said, if you look over to your right, and you could barely see it right there. They said, over there's Cuba. Well, who in the name of the Lord wants to go to Cuba? God, I'd rather lay out there and drown than you. I'd rather drown than go to Cuba. Then the sharks would get you. And I told her, I said, look, we're on this boat, and I'm going to find out where the lifeboats are. Yeah. And I said, if something happens, you hang on with me, and we're going to get in one of them orange rafts some way. But we ain't jumping in the water. Because I said, I can't swim much, you can't swim at all, and we'd probably both die, me trying to save you. So let's just get in one of these boats somehow. Oh, let me tell you something. And I've got this figured out. There's more stuff in the water that can hurt you than there is on the boat.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, you ever seen them things about these big old white sharks and stuff? Let me tell you, I don't want no part of that. Do you? Amen. You couldn't get me down here in the ocean, Brother Brown, to walk, to roll my britches legs up and walk up that water there about 2 foot in there. I wouldn't do that for nothing. One of them big old sharks see my legs, they'd think the Pillsbury Doughboy done got in the water. They're white as that wall right there. Man, I'd blind a shark while he's trying to bite me. Amen? But you know what? Hey, when the storms come, stay in the boat. Now, here's what I mean. When storms come, you stay in this church. Don't you sull up and get mad and get bitter and get bent out and all that kind of stuff. And then get out of church. Oh, let me tell you. Listen, about the Sunday you don't come is when God will give him a sermon that'll be exactly what you needed for that day to pull you through and get you back up on your feet and get you rolling again. And you know what? They all stayed on board. Now the boat come apart, didn't it? And some on boards and some on broken pieces. And some of them swam in. But Brother Brown, when they all got there, old Paul, he was standing there dripping wet, and he said, 273, 274, 275, 276. Amen. Oh, 276 souls.
Amen.
Oh, let me tell you. Praise God. Amen. He made it. And by the way, it wasn't, and he still had battles. Man, he got off that boat and got in there. It was a rainstorm. When they got off the boat, still raining and thunder and storming. And old Paul, he tried to be a blessing. He went and gathered up a big old armload of sticks to come put on the fire. And there was a viper, a snake, was in the wood pile. And bit it. And the Bible said this. And when he should have swollen up.
Yeah.
when he should if he did. Don't swell up. Amen. Don't get all swelled up and bent out. Stay on board. Man, let me tell you something. Folks, we're about home. Storms are going to come, but let me tell you, there's some things you ought not to do. You know what? I know this is simple, but I hope something in here tonight will help you when the battles come. Some of y'all sitting right here tonight might be going through storms in your life, battling cancers. Maybe a mate walked off and left you, or you've lost your job, or something's happened. But my dear friend, let me tell you tonight, there's a God in heaven. And he knows.
Yes.
And you keep your eyes on him, stay in love with him, and he'll see you through. Our Father, I pray tonight that, Lord, you'd take this little message. Lord, tonight you'd use it. Lord, help them. Help the people tonight. Thank you for Brother Ennis and his vision, this dear man of God. That's stayed by the stuff all these years, loved you, and served you, and lived for you. God bless him. Bless his meeting. Bless Brother Brown as he comes tonight. God and preachers, and bless those that sang, and bless this meeting this week. May the hand of God be upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.